This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
And now, from the Chicago Bulls, Modest Food Salad.
Mullin Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Ruthie Polinsky in for Mully today. That voice is very familiar to Bulls fans and to NBA fans, though, after this weekend. And he joins us next on The Score Hotline, brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, aturo.com. Tim Sinclair. Well done, Tim. Thank you for getting up early out in San Francisco to join us. How much fun was that?
Well, good morning, David. Good morning, Ruthie. It was a lot of fun. Yeah, you never turn down an opportunity to do All-Star Weekend, and it's sort of the Super Bowl for the NBA, and it was a blast to be there for sure.
Looks like you had a front row seat to a lot of it. What are just your sort of overarching takeaways from the format, some of the new experiences, and of course, Modest Bouzelis in the dunk contest?
My role was specifically Saturday night, so that was the one that I voiced on TNT. I mean, I saw all of it. So, you know, first of all, Mac McClung is a freak. That guy is incredible, and I knew what was coming. And I'd say my takeaway was still, he jumped over the middle of a car and dunked backward. That was, everyone here, and from what I saw on social media, that was the big buzz, that and the Chris Paul Wembanyama ejection or disqualification or whatever we're calling it. For Modest, it was really cool to have a Bull there. Certainly for him being so young, first year in the league, to have an opportunity to be on that kind of stage, I'm sure was incredibly nerve-wracking, but I think it's a good thing ultimately for him. I would have loved to see him use his second dunk first and get off to a better start. But in general, it was just a great night. And they're trying to tweak the format on Sunday to figure that all out. And I know they're going to keep working at that until it becomes something that not everybody can agree on, and everybody's not going to agree on anything, but maybe most people, including the players, can agree on is a good move.
Tim, could you not have suggested that to Modest a little bit? Like, maybe go with the second dunk first after the first two misses or so? That was frustrating to watch, and it wasn't so much frustrating as you felt so bad for somebody that young going through it for the first time and not being able to finish the deal. What was going through your mind as that was happening in front of you?
Yeah, I mean, I think to us watching it from a distance, or for me even, right there on the edge of the sideline, it might be easy to go, I'll just switch to something else. But I know in the mind of those guys that can start to show weakness, or maybe they feel like, oh, I'm seem unprepared, or, fill in the blank of all these things that are a negative. And guys at that level are always going to assume they're going to make their first one. And so when you are planning that as a competitor, the goal is, hey, I'm going to do something difficult to set the stage. Mac brings out a car. and I don't think most people remember, he didn't make his first one either. But when he was done with the miss, he had still jumped over a car. those guys just plan to make the first one. And they go, hey, when I make the first one, then it'll put me in a place to do what I want to do this time. And so it's hard to second guess, especially for someone who's brand new in the league. So I can't fault any of those guys because, you know, I can barely touch the rim anymore. So I probably shouldn't be the one analyzing it. But I was glad to see him out there committed to doing the dunk that he thought was going to be best for his chances to start things off. And it's just obviously a shame that it didn't work out the way he'd planned.
Tim, Draymond Green was very vocal about his disgust almost with the format on Sunday night. He really seemed to have an issue with the Rising Stars having a presence in the All-Star game. I'm curious on your take and just what that means for the game to have those guys have that ability to go up against, you know, the best of them.
Well, I certainly don't speak on behalf of the NBA or Draymond Green. And he's, you know, and to be fair, Draymond has discussed about a lot of things, I think, and has throughout his career. But the goal from my perspective was, hey, no NBA All-Star team is going to want to lose to the Young Pups. And so if we give them a chance to be in it, maybe we will have a more competitive game. At least that's my thought. I don't have necessarily any inside information on that. And honestly, I think in that second game last night, you saw that to be true. Once things were kind of tight and it was getting down, you know, close to that 40-point mark, Steph Curry and company were like, all right, we're not going to let this happen. And they turned it up and they played really hard. And it was a really fun stretch of basketball as they wrapped up that game. So in that respect, I think it worked. Now, did the whole format work? That remains to be seen. I'm sure they'll analyze, you know, numbers and crowd reaction and social media reaction and all that kind of stuff. But the goal, of course, is to get these guys who are all-stars to play maybe not full throttle, but to make it really entertaining basketball again. And that's obviously been a discussion for a while, and it's probably going to take some massaging over time.
We're talking with Tim Sinclair from the Bulls public address announcer at the United Center. The voice sounds familiar because it is. And he was in San Francisco this weekend for the NBA All-Star festivities. Tim, what was it like behind the scenes? What was fun about this weekend for you, the things that we didn't see or hear? Because I would imagine that's some of the fun about doing events like this is that you run into people you don't expect to run into or maybe people you're not exposed to here in Chicago. What will you remember about that part of this weekend?
Well, selfishly for me, it's seeing a bunch of people that, you know, I only get to see once a year for the NBA family of people that I've worked with at the All-Star weekends over the years. But for the people that most would care about, I was leaving Saturday night. Like, I had to, you know, a public address is half saying the right thing at the right time in the right way, and the other half is trying to find a quick break to go pee somewhere. And so so I was, before everything was getting started, I'm like, I've got to sneak out, make sure I'm good, and then get back so we can start the show. And but people were already piling in the building, and so I'm sneaking out of my seat to try to get back to the back, and there's a guy facing the other direction but standing kind of in my way. And so I'm trying to gently sneak behind him, and I sort of put my hands on his shoulders, and I don't push him by any stretch of the imagination, but I try to slide by him gracefully. I'm like, oh, excuse me. And he says, oh, no problem, and turns around, and it's Barry Bonds. and, of course, I didn't know that when I was sneaking by him. I was like, oh, hey, sorry. And so you have interactions like that, you know, over and over and over again, because down, at least down close, everyone down there is somebody. So my kids were excited that I got to see one of the dunk judges, Jesser, and hang out with him a little bit afterward. You know, he's got 25 million YouTube subscribers or whatever it is. But, you know, and then all of a sudden you look up while you're reading and Oscar Robertson and Dr. J are standing there having a conversation. And it's just one of those bizarre like everyone is someone dreams, except it's not. When we were in rehearsal, one final story, you know, we rehearsed for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours. And so they were counting me down into a reed in my ear, but it was the person next to me was the one doing it. It's 5, 4. And I look up and Ernie Johnson is standing right in front of me and he's got his hand out, you know, like director style, 5, 4, 3. And then he points at me on 0. And so it's just stuff like that. That's just a whole lot of fun. And it, you know, you know, little old me is sitting here with all this cool stuff happening around him. It's bizarre every year, but it's so much fun, and I'm really honored that I get the chance.
You brought up YouTuber. You just made me think of the half court contest. I mean, that was maybe the most electric part of the entire weekend. The fan making the half court shot.
I certainly felt that way for Sunday. Yeah, it was. You know, you couldn't have planned it, right? Like those are so. And I know a lot of planning went into, you know, what's going to happen and what do we do and how is this going to roll? But you can't plan someone making a shot from the logo. And he did. And it was right at the buzzer and it could not have gone better.
Awesome.
And I'm sure we'll see a whole lot of that on Mr. Beast's channel once he gets all that edited.
So, Tim, the Bulls have the week off. They come back later this week at the end. It's a break that they'll enjoy. And when they do come back, the expectation is, as it has been the last several games, Modest Bozelas will be in the starting lineup. And just curious, you referenced on your X feed, on your Twitter feed, about how you had to maybe adjust some changes and introducing him. What did you arrive at? What was that conversation like? Because you do take great pain to be careful in how you present and introduce these guys.
Yeah, so when the season started and we introduced the entire team on opening night, he was the one I didn't know how he wanted to be introduced because there's lots of options. He played in G League, Ignite last year, and, you know, Hinsdale, Chicago. Where does he want to be from? And so I asked him quickly, but this was like his first day at the office, right? I'm like, hey, how do you want to be introduced? And I gave a few options. He said, G League, Ignite. I said, great. So that's how we introduced him for the very first game of the season. Well, he got his first start last week, and I introduced him as from G League Ignite because that's what he had told me to do. And literally before the tip, Vucevic was over, and he was like, hey, he goes, we need to introduce him from Chicago. I was like, okay. I asked him, and he said G League Ignite, but he's like, no, it definitely needs to be Chicago. So and I heard that from a few other people. And so the next day, Modest and I were actually having our picture taken for the All-Star thing. And then, so I asked him, I'm like, hey, this is what people are saying. He goes, yeah, my mom said it probably should be from Chicago. So I'm like, all right, if that's what you want, that's what we'll do. So it's now from Chicago, and I'll try to give that a little bit of a different feel to the one from Chicago when Io's in the lineup, if they're both there. But, you know, my job is to do what the players want in those cases, and so that's where we're at.
Pretty cool to have two kids from Chicago in the starting lineup for the Bulls.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's great for the city. It's great for the team, I think. And so, you certainly can't complain. I don't like being repetitive, like my own little OCD nature of, hey, let's make it different. But, you know, if you got two from Chicago and they're both starting and they're both from the Bulls, then let's do it.
All right. So before I let you go, we really appreciate your time this morning, Tim. Before you end up coming back to the city, we talk. Look, we evaluate the Bulls on a daily basis. There's been a lot of disappointment this season because the Bulls, by a lot of people's estimation, are kind of going in circles. And they picked a lane, they traded Zach, and all the things that come with losing and maybe intentionally making it so that your draft odds are increased. Doesn't affect you, but it has to affect you in some way. How do you... Is it a conscious thing that on a regular basis you got to keep the energy high? Whatever your job is, you're introduced, you can't reflect anything but enthusiasm, 100% buy-in. Is that a difficult thing to do on a night-in, night-in basis?
You know, I think most of what you said is true for me. I feel like the luckiest person in the world for the Bears and the Bulls and Illinois basketball and All-Star games and all that kind of stuff to get to do what I do. So I'm never not going to have fun. Like if I ever get to an event and I'm not somehow having a good time, something's wrong. So that's my perspective personally going in. I feel like I've got one of the most fun jobs ever, and so it's going to stay that way. As far as team success and how that impacts me, it's always a little better when you win, you know, for me, just speaking selfishly. But I do think my job is to reflect what the crowd is or should be feeling within reason in any given moment. And so I try to not just be a paid cheerleader for the team, but really be a fan voice to an extent. Now, obviously, there are limits to that, but I'm not going to be turned up to 11 for the entire time of every game, down 30, up 30, hitting a shot at the buzzer to win it, the other team hitting a shot at the buzzer to win it. I'm going to try to, in some ways, reflect with my voice what's happening. And so, yeah, there's some nuance to that, and that is probably more difficult than most people think about. You guys in the industry know better than most that can be a tough line to walk. But my goal is to come in and do my job really well every game, win or lose. And also, I know that, you know, for me as a kid, I went to like one Bulls game. I sat with my back up against the back wall in the mid-90s of the United Center right after it opened. And I don't remember anything about the game, but I do remember those lights going down, Sirius starting, and the starting lineups. And this isn't to toot my own horn at all, but I do know that sequence is pretty important to a lot of people. And that's, you know, in 30 years when they think back, that's a lot of what they'll remember about their time at the United Center. And so I try to bring something to the table of, hey, I'm going to do this as good as I can every single game, because there's a 9-year-old who's sitting with his back against the wall in the 200 level or 300 level somewhere who this may be their only game, and they're going to remember, their phone's going to be in the air, and they're going to remember that. So from that perspective, yeah, I'm going to give it 100% every single time, regardless of anything else that's going on.
Terrific perspective. Thanks for your time this morning.
Thanks, Tim.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
Tim Sinclair, the public address announcer for your Chicago Bulls at the United Center, who was on the scene Saturday night for the All-Star festivities, including the dunk contest. All right, when we come back, Ruthie Polinsky's in for Mully. We're going to go through our Chicago sports teams because it's President's Day and look at the team presidents, for those who have team presidents,
yep,
and just quickly look at how good of a job they're doing, what they need to do next, and just an overall evaluation of a job that tends to get, does it get overlooked? How important is it? We'll talk about it next. It's Mullin Haas, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Good morning.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Morning. All good here.
Good morning. It's the Mully and Haas Show. Ruthie Polinsky in for Mully. That was Arturis Karnišovas, the Bulls Executive Vice President of Basketball Operations. Really team president. Let's face it. That's kind of the role that we're talking about. It is President's Day. And in our final segment, until transition, we're going to talk about the Chicago sports presidents. Because on President's Day, we should talk about the presidents that we won't get in an argument over. So let's look at the Chicago sports presidents. Most teams in town actually fill the role as team president. Interestingly enough, we'll start with the White Sox because they do not. They do not. It's an interesting choice, and I wonder if it's a choice because we have made the argument, or at least it's not less much of an argument. It's more of a point of discussion. When Kenny Williams departed, he was the team president. Rick Hahn was the general manager. They were both dismissed, or they both left the organization at the same time. It was difficult to know where the team president ended and the general manager began because, as we know, the Jake Berger trade exposed a lot of things. Well, Kenny was calling this woman and this, and Rick was talking to her and whatever. So there was a lot of kind of overlap in the job description. The White Sox made a choice not to fill the role, and Chris Getz is the chief decision maker. I think that's a void. As much as I can sit here and say Chris Getz has done a nice job of going to other organizations and getting some of their best intellectual talent, if you will, that I do think that the White Sox organization would be stronger if they had a boss for him, somebody who would be maybe a veteran in the industry, somebody whose vision might be shared, but somebody who would have a little bit more gravitas, if you will, in that role. And I think that is something that as the White Sox begin to climb back, Maybe they're examining, maybe they'll change, but I do think that as we talk about team presidents, we almost have to acknowledge the fact that the White Sox, by choice, have left that job vacant.
It's a void until it's a problem because, you know, you talk about what happened in the last regime. You need defined roles. You need a very, you need a clear hierarchy. Who's making what phone calls so that right. we're not overlapping.
Right.
So it's a void if it were to be done well.
You're right.
Which is a big if.
That is, and I think that, you know, not to get too deep into the weeds, we're talking about how it relates to the sport itself. There are president of business operations that, you know, Brooks Boyer essentially is the chief executive at the White Sox in charge of the kinds of things that are related to the business aspect of the White Sox. Jerry Reinsdorf technically is the president of the White Sox.
Mm-hmm.
But how involved is he in baseball decisions? Well, probably free agent decisions
right.
when you talk about how much to spend. But the president, the team president, in a lot of it's open for interpretation by a lot of teams. And we see that in Chicago, which I think is what makes it kind of an interesting conversation. So the White Sox essentially don't have a team president. I think it would behoove them to maybe examine that or continue to discuss that. All right, now the Cubs. This is interesting to me because the Cubs team president is Jed Hoyer. And when we talk about other teams, when we talk about Chris Getz making a move to make a big trade, we say Chris Getz, he's the general manager. We don't put Carter Hawkins on the same sort of level because Jed Hoyer is his boss and is an active president.
Mm-hmm.
And is totally the guy in charge when you talk about why they didn't get Alex Bregman, why they got Kyle Tucker, who made the trade. Well, Jed Hoyer needs to do this, and the Jed Hoyer urgency needs to do that. He is what I think your, when I think of team presidents, that's who I think the model, they do it right.
Mm-hmm.
They have the job description. They have a guy who has ascended, general manager. He's climbed the ladder. He's in charge, and there's no ambiguity about who's in charge. It's not, well, maybe Carter Hawkins, this was a trade. That,
yeah.
No, this is Jed Hoyer's team, and he is going to be held accountable for the success or failure of it.
And I think what he does so well is hold himself accountable, and he's always there to answer the questions and take the blame, but also, you know, when things go well, you know, he's the face of it. And I think he understands the territory that comes with the title that he carries. And I think he's a leader. When you think about a president of anything, they should be a leader. And you do get that sense from Jed Hoyer.
312-644-6767. What do you think of the job Jed Hoyer's doing as team president? And do you think that the White Sox would benefit from having somebody who is clearly in charge of baseball operations, who would be above, technically, Chris Getz? All right, with the Bulls. The Bulls, we heard from Arturis Karnišovas saying, good morning. And we heard from him 10 days ago explaining the state of the Bulls after the Zach LaVine trade. It wasn't an impressive showing. It just wasn't. And that's a job that I do think that he struggles with. I think that in the case of the Bulls, he would benefit from having somebody else be the guy who is the front-facing executive for the Bulls. You may value his ability to evaluate and, you know, draft, and he may, whatever arguments you are making on behalf of AK being the guy in that role for the Bulls, his strengths, great. Let him continue to use those strengths. Even if you don't believe that he's doing a great job, if that's what you believe he can do, let him do that. Help him out.
Mm-hmm.
Help him out by having somebody else maybe be the person that is the front-facing member that projects the image, that creates and manages the perception of your basketball operation. Because what he's doing as it pertains to that part of the job, he's not doing very well, and that's not a criticism as much as it is just a fact. He's a very likable, respectable guy, but he struggles at that part of the job. When you are on the job as long as he has been, and it'll be 5 years next month, I believe, 5 years in April, and you are reading prepared comments off a sheet of paper after your trade deadline move, I don't think that it's a job, part of the job that you are terribly comfortable with. And I'm seeing that, and I'm thinking, that's, to me, not necessarily something worthy of criticism. I mean, we are, I guess, criticizing it, but I think it's also cry for help. Let AK do his job. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't have to be a big part of it. Give him some help. Hire somebody or appoint somebody who is in charge of that. You know, I think of, you know, Gar Pax got very old in Chicago because it went on for too long. And I mean Gar Foreman and John Paxson. But when Gar Foreman was allowed to be the general manager and not necessarily the chief spokesperson for the Bulls, and John Paxson was that guy, that was a better combination because Pax is outstanding at being that guy. The Bulls need somebody like that.
It is such a massive part responsibility of any leader in this city, of any sports team, to be able to communicate very clearly and confidently to the media, because that is how you convey messages to the fans, and that is how you build a reputation within the city about the credibility of your organization, the decisions you're making, are they going the right way? And when they don't go the right way, are you able to own it? Own it.
That's the word, credibility.
And, yeah. The credibility, I think, is where it comes. And, you know, I think if AK could have sat up there and said, listen, guys, we tried to make more moves. It just really didn't work out. And that's on me. You know, you just wonder if you can sit up there and face the media, handle the criticism, take the questions, answer clearly and decisively and confidently, how the image changes about the future of the Bulls and what direction this team is going in right now. So I hear you. I think that part of the job for anyone cannot be overstated enough. Being able to communicate clearly to the media, which leads to communicating with the fan base.
The Blackhawks have Kyle Davidson as their general manager and chief decision maker as it comes to all things about the hockey operation. Jamie Faulkner is the president of business operations. They've made that division. I think that's a pretty clean break or a pretty clean division of separation of what their strengths are, and they play to them well. The Blackhawks' problem is not in the division of labor or people doing their jobs. I think it's just a matter of time before they're able to realize some of these. They started over. They bottomed out. And they bottomed out from a hockey perspective, and they bottomed out organizationally. And they have begun to climb back, and I do think it's just a matter of time. This is me talking, not anybody. This is just a matter of time before some of this young talent they have drafted will develop and give them a better product to sell. So that's going to be the way they continue to function.
Yeah, I think you wanted to see more progress this year. Last year you thought was, okay, this is the start of it with Connor Bedard. We got him. We drafted him. This offseason, it's, okay, we're putting pieces around him. That doesn't work. You fire the coach, and now you're almost starting over again, question mark? It's a little confusing, but I do think they've done a pretty good job of communicating the errors.
I think so. I understand the frustration from Hawks fans. And maybe it's because, and we don't need to revisit the reasons that things, you know, that they were needed to purge the organization of what happened with the scandal and all those things. But three championships in 5 years during that will buy you a little bit more patience and understanding, I think, when you begin a rebuild. And I do think that they're headed in the right direction. And at least it's a direction that we're pretty clear about.
Mm-hmm.
They understand what's going on. They understand how they plan to get back on top. Last summer, they thought they were getting veterans that were going to help more with Connor Bedard. Maybe had some guys that weren't exactly great fits. But I do believe in the talent in that organization as they begin and continue the rebuild. All right, with the Bears, the final team. I'll let you describe what you think Kevin Warren's perfect role is as team president of the Bears.
Oh boy, putting that on me.
What do you think he has brought the most in terms of
what?
Since he's taken over.
His impact?
Mm-hmm.
I think we all felt it when Ben Johnson was hired. I think that was Kevin Warren's greatest impact on the organization so far. They hired him to build a stadium. Feels like no one really knows where that's going. It feels like we're at a crossroads, but it's going three directions. Are we Arlington Heights? Are we, you know, in the city, et cetera? But I think the impact was felt when the Bears made a commitment to paying Ben Johnson $13 million a year, reportedly, for 5 years. And I do believe that Ben Johnson wanted to come to Chicago and was wooed in his interview by Kevin Warren's pitch, perhaps his role in the organization and how that impacts the decisions Ryan Poles is making. We've talked about it
before.
How
they sold the organization.
Yeah.
How they sold what's going on here.
Yeah.
Which to me was like a surprise.
Yeah.
Because we so often are used to the Bears not being able to close the deal or not even being able to sell
right.
the product.
It would have been so classic, old Bears, pre-Kevin Warren, to say the Bears were Ben Johnson's second choice.
Yes.
You know, that's the old Bears.
They had a seat at the table.
Yes.
They're happy, but they kind of like the Cubs and Bregman and the Cubs and a lot of and Ohtani and the, well, and the Sox sure. and Machado and the Sox and Harper. All those things, you don't like finishing second here.
For the first time.
But we're used to it.
For the first time in what feels like a really long time, the Chicago Bears were someone's first choice.
See, I'm glad you said it that way, though, because that's how I view the Kevin Warren experience right now, is that as much as we talked about the reason he arrived and all of the grandiose, lofty rhetoric that he has engaged in talking about the stadium project, and still, while that's taking longer than I think anybody is comfortable with, because time is money, he's spending a lot of money, he's investing a lot of money, but I think that right now, his tenure is defined by the fact that he closed the deal
yeah.
with the hottest head coaching candidate out there by being willing to spend.
With that being said, shovels in the ground were promised in 2025. The question now becomes, who will be the head coach when the stadium is built? I mean, I'm seriously.
That's true.
Like, this is taking much longer than anticipated. I do believe Kevin Warren bought himself some time by closing the deal with Ben Johnson, because you felt his impact there. Otherwise, what was he doing?
in his plan and what he says is more confidence in his credibility.
About the stadium?
Just in general.
When he's
making a promise, you think that after delivering Ben Johnson, maybe you believe it a little bit more than
Absolutely.
You did before that.
Absolutely.
It's all about credibility. It's all about the direction. And in these roles, I guess that's the overarching point that all of them have in common. You want somebody that helps you believe that your team is going to be closer to a championship because of the decisions they're making.
And he's certainly convinced George McCaskey to push his comfort zone, right? I mean,
totally.
And that's massive. And that if he's convincing George McCaskey to do those things, then who knows what's in the future?
773 says, the Bears were not his first choice. Chicago was. Whatever team would have been here would have been his first choice.
There's no way.
It's one of the same. That's a distinction without a difference, right?
I completely disagree. You get to be a head coach. You were the belle of the ball. You had Tom Brady was going to write you a blank check. You had a very good option in Jacksonville, smaller market, less criticism, potentially more flexibility in Jacksonville with a quarterback and a very underrated roster there. You absolutely had your pick, and he chose the Chicago Bears, and he chose Caleb Williams. It is a perk that the North Shore of Chicago is a beautiful place to live, perhaps the most beautiful in the world. But I also say that Ben Johnson chose the Chicago Bears.
Let's go to the phone lines. Joe is on the road. Joe, welcome to the Mullin Haw Show. How are you?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Listen, I'm pushing 70, and I've been a Bears, White Sox fan all my life. It doesn't matter who the coach is. Williams was sacked 70 times. The Bears kept putting the same guys out there that are hurt. They go back, they get fixed, they're back out there, but they stink. They can't get the job done. Same thing as Kansas City. They lost the Super Bowl because they couldn't block. And I'm a White Sox fan. I can't believe that the White Sox put that kind of team on the field. Those guys were absolutely horrible, terrible.
Joe, thanks for the phone call, but it's all related. Decisions that are made at the highest level trickle down to the product you see and pay to see. So there's a direct relationship. Maybe it's more indirect, but there is a connection between the types of decisions that presidents make and what you see.
And I will argue that it does matter who the head coach is for the Chicago Bears, because if you recall, Ben Johnson loves offensive linemen. He was having Penei Sewell throw and catch his own touchdown pass. in Detroit. This guy prioritizes protection and dependability. And I do believe, based off of some of the conversations and press conferences that we've heard so far, that Ryan Poles is really going to work hand in hand with Ben Johnson to help him build a roster that Ben Johnson believes will bring him success.
But look at the type of cynicism we are dealing with here.
Yeah.
630. The city of Chicago and the Cubs had a lot to do with Johnson picking the Bears. Bears.
This is
ridiculous.
They're
giving the Cubs more credit than the Bears.
It's ridiculous. It's, you get to be a head coach. Really, if you're lucky, you get to be a head coach in your lifetime one time, and you pick a situation where you're going to have success. And Ben Johnson believes that that's Chicago, and he believes he can win here. And I believe that to my core. And does being in Chicago and that he's a Cubs fan, does that help? Sure. How fun. His kids can wear those Cubs shirts all they want, you know?
You're not going to follow your childhood dream of...
Yeah.
Or look, he can be the biggest Cub fan since Ronnie Woo Woo, okay? If the Bears did not make a convincing argument to him that they can win with him as the head coach, he's not coming here.
Right.
I'll be the first to embrace this idea that, you know, the Cub fan in him kind of gave him this destination that he always dreamed about. But you also, as a professional, are able to, and as an adult, separate that kind of romanticism with reality.
Yeah.
And practicality. And if it wasn't a good job, he wouldn't have taken it.
I think there's still time to have this conversation. Let's see the money they spend in free agency. What offensive linemen do they get in
USA
here?
USA Today, you see that prediction?
I sure did.
USA Today is predicting that they're going to sign Trey Smith in free agency.
I mean, that would really be something. That would be a start, right? And I know you talk about how many holes they need to fill on that offensive line. One big signing, I think, can really have an impact.
Yeah.
If you have young pieces around him, I think what the Bears have been lacking on their offensive line is A, leadership, and B, experience and winning. And to bring in a guy that has won Super Bowls coming off a Super Bowl appearance, and that impact, I think, really bleed.
Dustin would tell you it wasn't a good Super Bowl appearance. So did Clay Harbor.
Well, listen.
You know, I mean, these guys, Trey Smith had a bad day at the Super Bowl.
Bad day.
Everyone, a lot of people had bad days.
I'd still take them. Wouldn't you take them?
I would too. 100%.
Dustin, no.
20 million.
No. Not for 20
million. Who do you want, Dustin, instead?
Great. It's a great question. You got me on the spot.
Oh, sorry.
That's fine. I don't have a definitive answer,
right? Yeah.
Because I think it's so important that I'm not just going to burp one out just for the sake of giving
you
one.
Thank you for not burping on the air. Okay.
I wouldn't do that either.
Thank you.
Others might.
You got a lady here today.
Maybe we should have Dustin on the Big Pro Football Show one time to talk about his free agent choices.
I would love Dustin to come on the Big Pro Football Show. No. I hear you. I understand the concern after that appearance, but there were a lot of things that went wrong in that game for the Chiefs, and I don't think it's all on one person.
We can discuss that later. We are going to be on 5:30 today, Big Pro Football Show in Chicago Sports Network. Shameless plug, but Ruthie's here. So
what are we going to talk about?
We'll have plenty to talk about.
Always.
There's always plenty to talk about.
I know.
The football never sleeps.
Never.
It really never does. And that's 5:30 tonight. But right now, you can be the sixth caller to the Scores contest line, 312-540-0670, to win a pair of tickets to see, oh, wow, Dierks Bentley with Zach Top and the band Lula, Credit Union One Amphitheater, Saturday, June 14th, on sale Friday at 10, but Dierks Bentley is the headliner, 312-540-0670, and he won't be drunk on a plane, but he will probably sing that song, and it will be worth the price of admission. Heck, if it's free, you want to go. It'd be a lot of fun. It's a great concert. All right, we'll do transition next with Layla Rahimi and Ryan McGuffey filling in for Dan Bernstein and Marshall Harris next on 670 The Score.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.